4CRB now presents The Law and You, proudly brought to you by Bell Legal Group. With a large team of highly experienced professionals, you can feel safe knowing that Bell Legal can help you with your legal needs.
And a very good morning to you. It's John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group, back with you this morning for another program of The Law and You. It's your opportunity to get free legal advice, and all you need to do is get on the phone. Our number is 5520888. That's 5520888. As always, our wonderful friends down south of the Tweed River, don't forget you've got to put 07 in front of the number. And you can always use our email address, talkback@4crb.com. And if you send an email today or during this coming week, we will deal with that next Tuesday when we go to air. Thank you to all the people who called in last week. Wow, what a massive program it was. Started off a bit slow, and then all of a sudden, bang, we were just hit with call after call. And I actually had to take the final call off air because we'd run out of time. So just a reminder that if you are looking for some free legal advice, make sure you get on that telephone straight away, 5520888. I was greatly saddened and yet privileged to attend the family funeral and the following public memorial for Andrew Symonds in Townsville last Friday. And I must say, many of you would remember him as a legendary Australian cricketer. He was actually an ex-All Saints student, All Saints Anglican School, so he has a very real local connection. And if you would really like to see something inspirational, I would suggest that you look up the YouTube of the public service that's now online. If you just go to the internet and type in Andrew Symonds' funeral, it'll bring up the YouTube of that. Certainly a great tribute to him from his many friends within the cricketing world, very close friends indeed, and certainly an amazing eulogy from his mother, Barbara Symonds, which unfortunately is not on the public memorial. It was part of the private service. But just something to look at, which I think you will find very, very inspiring. Couple of things that I've been trying for a while to talk about and haven't had a chance, and I'm not going to now because we've already got a call in from Corrie. Corrie, how are you today?
I'm good, thanks, John. Have a question.
Sure.
Cash is still legal tender, but a lot of places won't take cash.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, that's right. Although cash is legal tender, I've looked at this before, and my recollection is that there is, in fact, not a that a business can say that it does not accept cash. And I know that a lot of that came in through COVID, where people didn't want to be handling money. I even know, for example, at our church, they've gone, of course, to online giving. But if people wish to give at the church, they've got a box at the back where you can put your giving if it's in cash, and they leave it there for 5 days. Oh, they don't leave it in that box there, so note to any criminals listening. They take the box away, but they don't touch the cash for 5 days until after it's been placed in there as a COVID precaution. So just a note to self that, yes, although cash is certainly still legal tender, absolutely no question about that, a business does have the right to say that they're not accepting cash.
Yes, because
but they should properly advertise that fact or have it displayed.
Well, we got a bill for our body corp, and we always paid a post office with cash.
Yep.
And all of a sudden they said, oh, that company, which doesn't even handle that money, but that company won't take cash anymore. And we were stuck trying to pay the bill.
Well, I can't understand why it's relevant to the post office whether you pay by cash or not, because the post office still certainly accept cash. Whether the body corporate management company no longer accept cash, the payment from the post office, I would have thought, goes straight through, is transferred from the post office. Do they have sometimes on the body corporate accounts, whether you can pay it at the body corporate's bank? Have you checked the bottom of the invoice to see if there's details of that? Did you ring the body corporate?
Oh, we've tried everything. We've had things going on, and I mean, we're 84, you know.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
We're stuck there, and the last bill we paid, and this one, my husband went with cash and said, oh, no, we're not taking the cash. But you're taking cash, yes, yes, but the company where it's going to doesn't take cash. But that's being made over electronically.
Well, exactly. That money gets paid into Australia Post's bank account, and then Australia Post just transfer the money to that company. So I certainly don't think that the body corporate company or Australia Post come around to Australia Post, or Australia Post goes to the business and hands over a bag with the cash in it.
No, of course they don't.
So, yes, I certainly think that one's well worth pursuing for you. Corrie, the only other thing I can think of, but again, it's a cost to you, is if you purchase a bank draft, because if you then purchase like a bank check or a money order or something like that,
well, that's what we've done.
That's costing you to do that. What's the charge for the money order?
$10.
Yeah, that's adding $10 onto your account, which is just ridiculous.
Right.
And presumably you pay that once a quarter?
Yeah. 4 months, 3 times a year.
Yes, once. Oh, 3 times. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's 3 times
right.
a year. Right.
What I would be doing is I would be raising it with the committee of the body corporate at the building where you live, and just explaining that to them. And I would be telling them that you want the matter dealt with at the next committee meeting, so that the policy is changed and people can pay with cash at the post office.
Yes, because my husband rang. Not the body corporate, but they have another company handle the money.
Right.
And he's on there, and they said, well, we have just decided we're not taking cash anymore.
Hmm.
But that was the answer.
Yeah, isn't that a great attitude?
Oh, it was absolutely shocking. And the bill before, we just paid cash, so my husband went with cash on last Friday, I think. And, yeah, he rung them up, and they said, no, we have decided.
Hmm. Well, I think you should. What I would be doing, if the body corporate refuses to take it on at a committee meeting, and then it may have to go to an annual general meeting for the members to vote on it, but you could start lobbying the members now to force the body corporate to change the rule if the body corporate won't.
Because we went to the secretary, and he's a lovely new guy, and he came over and he said, look, this might be the best way out. I've made inquiries and all that, but nothing works. Mm. It just doesn't work. They're stubborn as a mule. They just
Who's stubborn as a mule? The Australia Post?
No.
Oh, the body corporate management company.
Yes.
Right, okay.
It's not the body corporate.
No,
they have another company.
Yeah, management company.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So that's the company that's issuing the accounts to you.
Yes.
Mm. Okay, well, I would be getting on to your lovely secretary and explaining the problem to him and telling him that they need to find out whether the body corporate manager has the right within their contract of management to insist on cash payments, on payments other than cash, and they should be placing the body corporate management company on notice that if they're not prepared to change their policy, well, you may change your management.
Yes, I never complain about things, but this was really bad.
Oh, that's beyond the pale, yes. But we'll have to leave
it
there. I'm sorry, Corrie. We've just got a few more callers coming in. Time on 4CRB is 14 minutes, 14 and a half minutes past nine, as we say g'day to Bill. G'day, Bill. How are you? Bill, are you there?
Yes, yes. Hello.
Hi, Bill. How are you going?
Very well, thank you.
That's good. How can I help you today?
I was just inquiring, when we bought our house, there was no front fence.
Right.
Now, we wanted to put the front fence up for our dog, and we got it surveyed, and we started putting the fence up, and the neighbour then thought that we were on his land. So
How could you be on his land if you're building a front fence?
Exactly, but he thought his area came out on a different angle.
Oh,
anyway,
right.
we showed him the survey, and his garage wall, which is a common, it's right on the boundary.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, his garage wall is actually about 100 millimetres on our side of the building, of the block.
Right.
So his wall is in our place.
Right.
And his gutter is naturally overhanging.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the gutter isn't very good gutter, and we were just wondering if something ever happened and there was a leak into his house, because that gutter is on our land, are we responsible?
No. No, I don't think you are. But the thing you need to consider, Bill, is down the track when your house is going to be sold, you've got an encroachment onto your property from the neighbour's wall. The question here, I think, to be considered is whether you should be negotiating with your neighbour, and this should be at his expense, to realign the boundary so that the wall is and the gutter is totally on his land. And it may be that there's a small amount of compensation to be paid to you for the loss of the land. So I would... Did the survey show that his garage wall was on your land? Because you said you only got the front fence surveyed.
Yeah, it was only just surveyed for the front fence. But when you look at the survey on a plan view, his garage wall is actually over our side of the boundary.
What I would suggest you do is go back to the surveyors that did your front boundary and just explain to them what you've found, just ask them about the most practical solution to the problem. Unfortunately, I suspect they'll tell you that you've got to get that boundary surveyed, so there's obviously going to be cost in that. It'd be nice if they could just confirm to you before... They won't be able to confirm to the millimetre, but confirm to you, yes, it appears quite clear that does encroach, because then I think you can reasonably approach the neighbour and say, well, I think the boundary should be realigned. Because if you sell, you've got an encroachment onto my property, and if I sell, I've got your property encroaches onto mine. So either of us can potentially have a problem when we go to sell. So I would be doing that and looking at whether there is an option to realign the boundary. You might also ask the surveyor just for their opinion about the best process to go through for that, and also cost. I would have thought it'd all have to be at the cost of your neighbour, including any potential compensation for the land of yours
that he's taken. Yeah.
Yes. All right, then.
The thing is, if that was the case, that means the front fence would then be in the wrong position.
Well, it may not be.
Unless you put a dog leg in that boundary line.
Is the garage right on the very front boundary as well?
No. It's set back at the setback. But our fence, We put it in 100 mil inside our boundary line, so that neighbours can't plant gardens up against it and rot the fence, etc.
Yep.
So we've kept that back, but now we found that his garage is actually over our side of the boundary.
Yes.
So that means that we would, if they took that extra, say, 150 mil, that means our fence would stick into there if it was projected.
I'm not suggesting they're going to take 150 mil right along your whole boundary. I'm suggesting that the boundary would have a dog leg in it. Recess back. But speak to the surveyor about it, Bill. That'll be your best option. All right, then.
Okay, thanks.
All the very best.
Thanks very much.
No trouble. And the time rolls along, 19 minutes, coming up to 20 minutes past 9 as we say good morning to Ron. G'day, Ron. How are you today?
Hi, good morning, John. Look, thanks very much for all your general advice.
No trouble.
I listen regularly.
Thank
you. Now, your earlier caller talking about the transaction of cash.
Yes.
I read an article just recently that said that there is no indication that cash will transfer COVID in any other degree to any other thing.
Right.
There's no scientific evidence, this article said.
I'm not suggesting it's any more transmissible than anything else.
No.
Ron, I'm just suggesting that if I've got COVID and I use a pen and somehow particles of COVID get onto that pen, I put it down and you pick that pen up, that can transmit COVID. So,
I think anything can.
Yeah, I'm not singling out cash. I'm just making the point about the reason why many businesses no longer or are very reluctant to accept cash. There are other issues as well. I think that body corporate one is a totally different issue. But in the general run of retail trade, I think that's part of the reason. Although, as I say, I'm seeing a return to cash now. Are you finding when you go into certain places? I've got a recollection that some of the supermarkets for a while there had signs up saying they wouldn't accept cash. So, anyway, look, it all seems to be coming back to normal, which is great.
I was in a Woolworths store the other day. I went to give the girl the money for about an 80-cent purchase. Mm. She said, no, I can't take that. Put in that machine. There's almost like a teller machine. You put the note in, and she gives you the change in hand over the counter. This is crazy stuff.
Yeah, well, that is crazy that you put the change in there and she gives you the change. But anyway.
Anyway, Ron, that's it. Cheers,
thanks very much for the call. And we have 22 minutes past 9 coming up as we say a very good morning to Helen. G'day, Helen. How are you today?
Oh, hello. Well, thank you.
That's good.
Just a quick question.
Sure.
I'm paying my mum's chemist account. She was 104 yesterday.
Oh, congratulations. Pass on the very best wishes of 4CRB to your mother for a wonderful milestone in life. 104 years young.
Thank you so much. Hmm. By the way, her daughter, my sister, was one of the first radio announcers at 4CRB.
Oh, Betty really? Churchill. Remember Betty incredibly well.
Well, there you go.
Yes. Well, I've been with 4CRB since day dot. Started talking to Hilton Redding about it at church in 1979 from memory and never left.
That's wonderful. Yes. Oh, well, there you go.
So getting back to your mother and her chemist bill.
Yes. The last couple of times I've been in, they're refusing to take mum's cheque to pay her account.
Right.
Is that legal? I said, look, that's legal tender. Oh, no
it's not. No, a cheque is actually not legal tender,
right.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
So what I would suggest you do with it, Helen, is it's a bit silly if your mother's had an ongoing relationship with this chemist shop for 84 years. But but it's funny, but if they have been accepting checks and then all of a sudden they're saying they won't. I mean, I would have thought that you have an arrangement. There are two ways I think to approach it. One, you could ask to speak to the chemist in charge and just say, look, you know, you've been accepting checks up until now. Or the other alternative.
Sorry to interrupt, but it was him.
Oh, okay. If that's the case, then the only way around it, and this is what I used to do with my late mother, I would pay her chemist bills on my credit card and then just reimburse the money out of mum's account.
Yes.
So that's the easy way around it.
Yes. No, look, it's not a big issue, but I was just wondering if that was the case, that places can actually just say that.
Yes. Oh, certainly for a cheque they can. You might have heard our discussion earlier about cash. I suspect you'd find that they're probably more inclined to accept cash. But as I said, there are some businesses that are still refusing to accept cash.
Yes. All right. Oh, well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
No trouble at all. Helen, all the very best. And once again, don't forget to wish your mother a very happy birthday from 4CRB for yesterday.
I will certainly do that. I appreciate that.
No trouble at all. And the time on 4CRB has just come up to 25 minutes past 9. Presently have no callers online, so if you have a question or a query, you'd get straight through if you call us now. But while we're waiting, coming back to a couple of things that I've been trying to talk about over the last month, and one was an article I read back at the beginning of May where the Australian Senate Standing Committee on Legal and Constitutional Affairs has has published a report asking the federal government to extend anti-money laundering laws, the legislation, to cover designated non-financial businesses and professions. And I was interested to read that amongst those that they were wanting this to apply to was lawyers, conveyancers, accountants, real estate agents, high-value dealers, and trust and company service providers. Now, you would certainly be aware that that there are the cash reporting requirements in place, and from memory, if you deposit more than $10,000 or more, if you receive funds $10,000 or more from a client, there's a legal obligation under the cash reporting transaction legislation to report that. So I was just quite surprised to see this, but certainly all in favour of any legislation that stamps out money laundering, and very topical at the moment, isn't it, with what's going on with Crown Casino at the moment. But enough of that. We've probably got our last caller for the day as we say hi to Betty. G'day, Betty. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Good morning. My question is not so much a money matter, but or legal point of view. I'm just wondering. I had treatment by a specialist and then went on to my GP to get the results. I asked him for a copy of the report, and he said that legally he was could not allowed to do it. Previously, he has given them to me. I'm just wondering, does the report belong to the doctors?
Well, you paid for it, didn't you? You pardon? Paid for the report?
Yes, I asked for a report of the specialist.
Yes, no, but you paid for the report?
Oh, yes.
So I can't see any reason why you're not entitled to a copy. So
I want to have a copy so I can make a good decision about the treatment.
Yes, no, well, I can't see any reason for that at all, to be honest, because you're the patient, you're the client. I mean, just as a point in, as a matter of fact, I went and got an X-ray on my shoulder the other day for bursitis. And when I went and did the follow-up with my GP afterwards about how we were going to treat it, he just printed out and gave me a copy of the report there and then.
This is what it says. Has happened, but he said now they've changed things. And he pointed to a line on the bottom. He didn't actually show it to me. He just pointed to it to said that it could legally it wasn't allowed to give a copy onto a third party.
Well, the only thing I could suggest to you in relation to this would be to get onto the office of the medical ombudsman, because I just can't see the basis upon which, if you've paid for the report, you're the customer, and in this case, the patient. I would have thought that you would be entitled to that. I'm not aware of any change in the law. Look, unfortunately, I can't give you the number for the medical ombudsman. I just don't appear to have it at my fingertips.
I think I can find out.
But I can certainly give you the number for the Office of the Commonwealth Ombudsman, and they very well may be able to provide you with the details for the medical ombudsman, unless you've got the ability to look it up online or something. But their number is – have you got a pen handy there, Betty?
Yes, I have.
Yep, 1300 –
And 362 072. Thank you very much.
So give them a call, and I'm sure they'll be able to pass you on to the appropriate party that will be able to assist you with that.
Thank you very much.
Okay, then,
enjoy the program as well.
Thank you very much indeed.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's probably all the time we've got for calls today. I see that we've got Kevin there waiting online. So, Kevin, if you still have your radio turned up, I'll take your call off air after the program is over. I'm John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group. It's been great to be with you this morning for another program of The Law and You. I'll certainly look forward to being back with you again next week. But as always, until then, it's goodbye and God bless.
You've been listening to The Law and You, proudly brought to you by Bell Legal Group, the Gold Coast's longest established law firm, helping Gold Coasters since 1955. Call them today on 55 97 33 66.